Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex Jones. And we've got a whistleblower joining us at the bottom of the hour, and he's going to be having some big information about banks that are too big to jail. You've heard the story before, but this is something that maybe you haven't heard, and we're going to try to get that out. Mainstream media has been sitting on this story, so we're going to try to get it some more exposure. We want to talk a little bit more about Obamacare. You know, everybody is, they're selling this as it's something that's there to help the poor. But look at what's going on with the insurance company's stocks. We've been telling you for a long time here at InfoWars that this is about insurance companies, that they wrote it, that they're profiting from it. And for the last 4 years, their stocks, the largest insurance company stocks, have been skyrocketing, going up anywhere from 2 to 5 times. Don Salazar pointed that out in an article last week. And now we know why, because people are starting to get their estimates back from Obamacare, and they're seeing that, of course, their insurance rates are doubling. That's just for starters. That's just the beginning. They're going to continue to go up from there. You think they're going to go down on your insurance rates? They never go down on insurance rates. But, of course, it's there to help the poor. But we found out yesterday that they're actually looking at credit scores. Now, today we've got some interesting walk back on that. That was a lead navigator that came up with that story. Today, she's trying to walk that back. We're going to take a look at that in the next segment. But the question is, if they're going to look at credit scores, and that's going to be a basis, what she said yesterday, we're going to go with what she said yesterday, because she was one of the lead navigators, or the lead navigator in Florida. After she talked at some length with reporters about that, she came back the next day and tried to walk that back. I think the real true story is what she really came out with at the beginning. And what she said was that the insurance provider could look at your credit score and decide if they don't want you in their health insurance plan, that the insurance company is going to make that call. And see, the insurance companies are not allowed to exclude somebody because they've got a pre-existing condition. But do you think that maybe if somebody's had cancer or a major illness, let's say open heart surgery or whatever, as expensive as it is even with your deductible, do you think that they might have a credit problem? A good chance. In other words, it's a way for the insurance companies to backdoor keeping out people with pre-existing conditions. But ask yourself this. Do you think that poor people, who this is all about helping poor people, do you think that poor people have high credit ratings or do they have low credit ratings? If the insurance companies are collecting this information, and that's yet another story, that's a huge part of this, is the total blanket amount of information that these insurance companies are getting on everybody, and the fact that they are looking at your credit score, they're getting your Social Security number, they're getting everything from you. And as McAfee pointed out when he was on the Alex Jones show the other day, the fellow that if you've got a PC, you've got a McAfee software on there about viruses and security. He's an expert on security, and he said it was the most insecure system he had ever seen. There's no way to verify that anybody is a legitimate insurance provider. Instead, they can pose as an insurance provider, and you turn over everything about your life, all the details about your life. There's no guarantees about that you're giving that to a verified person. So it's absolutely insecure, and of course it's not working. They don't want people to know at this point how much it's going to cost, is my opinion. A lot of us believe that. It's a terrible way to get into your computer. Once they get your IP, they can go in and they can match that to your name. It's one of the most massive thefts of identity we have ever seen. And we're going to look a little bit more carefully about this credit score thing and let you decide about that. We'll be right back with a couple of clips from that.
My friend. friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The fall season is here. Falling downstairs, bad. Fallback pricing, good. Don't fall down the stairs. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote for special fallback pricing on delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. Vote early, vote often, through October 10th. Tell us which product to put on sale. Then, beginning October 11th, Fallback Friday, the price of the product with the most votes will be on sale with special fallback pricing. Missing out on a sale on emergency preparedness food, camping food, or backpacking food? Bad. Storing delicious freeze-dried entrees, fruits, vegetables, and desserts? Good. Go to freezedryguy.com. Vote now through October 10th for fallback pricing. Voting for politicians who expose themselves? Bad. Voting for fallback pricing at freezedryguy.com? Good. Go to freezedryguy.com.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex Jones. Now, in the last hour, we had an interview that Ja'Kari Jackson did with Jerry Patterson. And he is the Texas Land Commissioner. I want to clarify this. He is running for Lieutenant Governor. I think I mentioned that he was running for Land Commissioner, but he is Land Commissioner, and he is running for Lieutenant Governor. A great friend of the Second Amendment, really understands what that is, and a great patriot, actually. He really understands the Constitution. Check out that interview with him if you didn't get a chance to hear that. And it's interesting to look at this because, in contrast, we see what happened just recently in Connecticut. We had Connecticut cops seize a 69-year-old's 274 legal guns and charged him with 17 felonies. Now, this guy, his name is Callahan, he's 69 years old. On Monday, they charged him with 11 counts of illegal possession of explosives and 6 counts of first-degree reckless endangerment after finding 274 guns in his home in Fairfield, Connecticut. Evidently, if you've got too many guns, that's reckless, just like if you have a gun slung over your shoulder, that's reckless as well. That's scary. That's alarming. He is a retired chemist who is also an amateur rocketeer, and at least some of the chemicals found appear to be for his rocketry hobby. The lawyer said that he's a gun collector, and they are all registered. They're all legal. And in addition, he's an amateur rocketeer. He shoots his own small rockets, and a lot of what he had was related to rocketry. He's even in the Skeet Shooting Hall of Fame. But because they found some M80 fireworks and some jet fuel, which he says he uses in his classic Corvette, he's got a court appearance for October the 16th. This is why people need to stand up for this. If you're in Texas, get to the Alamo. October the 19th, we have a stand for gun rights, and we all need to stand together. We're going to be there shooting cameras. Hopefully nothing will happen other than that. But we have to stand up for our rights or we lose them. So make sure you get there October the 19th at the Alamo. It's going to be a large demonstration for gun rights. And we're going to have speakers there talking about it. And of all places, I can't think of a better place than the Alamo. You know, I was just looking at some Alamo history, and it was Bowie, who you've heard the Come and Take It that was at Gonzales, Texas. And they had the cannon flag there. But it was actually a couple of years before the Alamo that the Mexican tyrants actually tried to collect guns. And Bowie had moved to the area. He had become a Mexican citizen. He had married the daughter of a Mexican. I think he was a mayor. He had built a factory there. He was trying to be a productive citizen like many people here in the U.S. And when they came around to collect the guns, this was a general before Santa Anna, he and some other guys basically ambushed them and shot them up. And surprisingly, nothing happened for a couple of years until Santa Anna started coming around. And then they started the gun confiscation again. That's where you see the Gonzales flag with the cannon on it, Come and Take It. And then the shooting really started. You had the Alamo, and then you had Goliad, which was a massacre of troops who had surrendered. And they took them out the next day and said, we're going to send you home. Took them out, lined them up in the woods, and shot most of them. Some of them ran through the woods and got away. After those two incidents, they understood that it was either take down the tyrant or he's going to take you down. We need to understand that they're coming after our gun rights around the fringes. That's exactly what General McChrystal said back in January when they were trying to push all this gun legislation in the wake of Sandy Hook. He said, we've been moving this around the edges, and I'm paraphrasing him here, but he used the term, we've been legislating around the edges, and we need to get very serious and go for the main thing. So in other words, he was saying, we've been infringing their gun rights. They're never going to come and take them right away at the very beginning. Instead, they're going to set up a lot of little entrapments, things that they can use to harass gun owners, to arrest them if they violate the technicalities of the law. And so that's the way that it starts. But we need to roll that back before it gets into something even more serious. Now, the other big thing going on today is, of course, Obamacare. And there's a breaking story that we've got up on PrisonPlanet.com. David Seaman pointed out that the man that's going to be heading up a congressional NSA reform package is actually the one who authored CISPA. And we're going to be talking about that later. But let's go to a clip that we have. This is Obama running in 2008, and he was speaking on the Ellen DeGeneres show, and he was talking about the distinctions between Hillary, who wanted mandated health care, and what he wanted.
And we've had an ongoing discussion about health care. Both of us want to provide health care to all Americans. There's a slight difference, and her plan is a good one, but she mandates that everybody buy health care. She'd have the government force every individual to buy insurance, and I don't have such a mandate because I don't think the problem is that people don't want health insurance, it's that they can't afford it. So I focus more on lowering costs, and this is a modest difference, but it's one that she's tried to elevate, arguing that because I don't force people to buy health care that I'm not insuring everybody. Well, if things were that easy, I could mandate everybody buy a house, and that would solve the problem of homelessness. It doesn't.
Yeah, remember that? He's going to lower the cost. That's what he's really concerned about. You know, that's the Affordable Health Care Act. Well, how does doubling people's insurance lower the cost? The insurance companies know what's in this. They wrote the law. They knew what was in this years ago. That's why their stocks have gone up by a factor of 2 to 5 over the last 4 years, as we pointed out. And notice what he says. He doesn't want mandates. Hillary Clinton wanted mandates. He said if mandating fixed things, then he could mandate everybody to buy a house, and that would cure the problem of homelessness, except that homeless people can't afford to buy a house. But now let's look at what was said this week by the lead navigator in Florida, the person who is going to has been trained by the feds to explain how Obamacare works. That's what a navigator is. She's going to help people navigate through the system. She's been trained to explain to them exactly what Obamacare is about. This is what she said in an interview.
Ann Packham, who has gone through training to teach people how to enroll in health care through the Affordable Care Act, admits she gave bad information about credit scores affecting people's eligibility.
How does someone in your position get that wrong?
It was just a mistake. I mean, I've been hearing from several people that they were getting links, they were getting those questions from Experian.
Some people are being asked during the enrollment process to link to Experian, one of the credit reporting bureaus. But we learned today from the Department of Health and Human Services that is only to verify their identity. A spokesperson went on to say in an email, insurers are not allowed to factor in credit scores when setting premiums, and at no point in the application process are people's scores accessed. But here's what Packham told us about credit scores yesterday.
So that health insurance providers can make an educated decision about who to insure based on if somebody is defaulting on all their bills, they may not want to have them in their part of their health plan.
Packham wouldn't say today how she came up with such a detailed explanation, but does admit it was wrong.
People just want to know, you've been through training.
Right.
You are educating people about the process. How does this happen?
It's human error.
Now, misinformation is exactly what critics of the Affordable Care Act have been complaining about all the time. And yesterday was an example of misinformation. Unfortunately, it was coming from someone who really should know better.
Yeah, she really should know better. And I think she did know better. I don't know which version is true. Run the clip from yesterday from about 13 seconds in, because she went over this in a great deal of detail yesterday. It wasn't just one statement that she made off the mark. She emphasized that. She was saying insurance providers can look at your credit score and decide if they don't want you in their plan. The insurance company makes the call. She talked about how, yeah, this is perfectly reasonable because, you know, if you're not paying your bills, they want to make sure that they're going to get their money. That's what it's about. It's about getting the money to the insurance companies. Understand there's a difference between health insurance and health care, just like there's a difference between education and school. You know, you can get an education at school, but you don't necessarily need to have a school to get an education. The same thing is true of health insurance and health care. You can get health care without having health insurance. Let's go to that clip right now.
How much they pay.
Well, they say it was explained to us like this. It's like buying a house or a car. Your credit score and other factors can determine your interest rate. In this case, it can determine how much you pay in premiums.
People are asking, why is that being asked of me?
Ann Packham is one of many people called
Okay, you can pull it out right now. See, that's exactly what she, and in that original interview that they played, she goes on for quite some time with the quotes that I just gave you. And like he said, it's just like buying a house. I find that kind of ironic because it is just like buying a house. If you can't afford a house because you're homeless, because you're poor, just mandating it doesn't solve anything, and it doesn't solve anything with the health care either. This is not a transference of benefits from the middle class or from the wealthy, as they like to imagine, to the poor. We just had a report earlier this week where they were talking to people who had voted for Obama, and they were very distressed to see that their insurance rates were doubling or more. And one person said, I wanted to provide health care for the poor. I just didn't know that it would be me paying for it. See, they thought they were going to practice charity with somebody else's money, like Ted Kennedy, you know, he was one of the richest men in the country. And, of course, he loved to practice charity with other people's money, didn't like to practice it so much with his money. But there's a lot of people who think that they're going to vote for this largesse out of the government, out of money that's just printed out of thin air. Money that we borrow from future generations, a debt that we pile upon them, because, you know, we only pay, our income tax only pays to cover the interest on our debt. We've been on an interest-only loan from the giant banks since they created the Federal Reserve and the income tax nearly 100 years ago, and it's not getting any better. That's what this debt ceiling is about. They want to keep getting us in farther and farther into debt. And if you want to look at a hockey stick graph, don't look at the temperatures, because that's not going up like a hockey stick. What's going up like a hockey stick is our indebtedness. The banks are getting us into a crushing debt that we'll never be able to pay. Then they're going to pull the rug out from underneath us. And this is all about a massive transference of wealth and power from the American people to a few corporatists who run the government. And we're going to be talking about some of those banks. It's coming right up in an interview with a whistleblower. Stay tuned.
Alex Jones here, and I want to tell you about a longtime friend of the show, My Patriot Supply. As you might remember, this is the company that stood up to the DHS and exposed FEMA's secret plan to begin hoarding emergency survival food. It has always been my belief that it's key to stand behind companies who share the same values as their fellow patriots. My Patriot Supply brings us their exclusive Patriot Pantry brand, along with many other fine preparedness products. I personally store and use their high-quality products. It tastes great, and it's easy to store for up to 25 years. For a limited time, you can save $50 instantly on a 4-week supply of food, along with other special offers. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com/Alex today. With the New World Order making rapid advances on every front, it is essential to prepare with My Patriot Supply today.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Trauma-Max, a high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com. We'll stop it and most pistol rounds. Trauma-Max is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
When the day comes where the world changes forever, you can be ready at a moment's notice. With Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's completely mobile and ready to go. All the comforts of an RV, but custom-built to outlast any other trailer. Learn more at survivalistcamps.com. Due to overwhelming response, limited inventory is available. Be ready with survivalistcamps.com. Survivalist Camps, providing your basic needs to survive.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex Jones, and we have a whistleblower talking about corruption and, of all places, banks. Who'd have thought? I mean, you know, banks corrupt? I don't know. Actually, it's a pretty extensive story. This is something we've seen over and over again. Back in 2010, Bloomberg was talking about a different bank corruption story. In that one, he was talking about banks that were financing Mexico gangs. And it was, at that time, Wachovia and Bank of America. This is a story. This was an event that happened back in 2006. The story is actually from 2010. And they're talking about how some suspicious soldiers found in a plane that had landed near Mexico City 128 black suitcases packed with 5.7 tons of cocaine valued at $100 million. The stash was supposed to have been delivered to Caracas to drug traffickers in Toluca near Mexico City. The smugglers had bought the plane, which was a DC-9, with laundered money that they transferred through two of the biggest banks in the U.S., Wachovia and Bank of America. And that was $378 billion over a period of 2004 to 2007. The largest largest money laundering case in history. It was a sum that was equal to one-third of Mexico's gross national product. And this is what a person who worked at Wachovia at the time, one of the two banks that was involved in it, and of course, Wachovia was subsequently bought by Wells Fargo, so then Wells Fargo was involved in the litigation. And this former Wachovia anti-money laundering unit person, he was the director of that unit, Martin Woods, said, "It's the banks laundering money for the cartels that finances the tragedy. A tragedy of, as they pointed out, since 2006 and the 4 years between the time of that drug smuggling in 2006 and the time this article was written in 2010, there have been 22,000 people killed in the drug wars in Mexico. Of course, it's been another 3 years now. That total is much, much greater. It's a much more dangerous situation than you've got going in Afghanistan, for example." But he said that he quit the bank in disgust after executives ignored his documentation that drug dealers were funneling money through Wachovia's branch network. And that's a similar story to what we have today with the person who's joining us, Everett Stern. He was working at a different bank. He was not working at Wachovia or Bank of America, but he was working at HSBC. And as this article from Bloomberg pointed out, no U.S. bank, Wells Fargo included, has ever been indicted for violating either the Bank Secrecy Act or any other federal law. And we learned back in March of this year, after this HSBC story broke about their money laundering issues, they were given a slap on the wrist, and the Assistant Attorney General, Lanny Brewer, said, defending the fact that they got such a small slap on the wrist, he said, had the U.S. authorities decided to press criminal charges on any of the bank officers or personal fines on any of those bank officers or to pull their banking license, the future of the institution would have been under threat, HSBC he's talking about, and the entire banking system would have been destabilized. See, the problem is when you don't jail people who do these types of things because they're so big, because you're going to tolerate corruption from people just because of the size they are and because of the influence that they've purchased with the government. The institution that's threatened is not HSB. The institution that is threatened is the integrity of the United States government. And we've seen this time and time again from our current Department of Justice, not prosecuting people involved in the Fast and Furious scandals, not prosecuting people involved in Benghazi, and, of course, not prosecuting HSB. And shortly after that, there was another case with USB, which is a Swiss bank. You know, HSB is a Hong Kong Shanghai bank. USB is a Swiss bank. And it was just about a week later that the same Assistant Attorney General, Lanny Brewer, went back to the press. And this time it wasn't about money laundering, but it was about LIBOR. And he said, well, they weren't going to really do anything to UBS as well. And he said, our goal here is not to destroy a major financial institution. And the people that were there pointed out to him, they said, this is a bank that has broken the law before because they've been involved in 2009 in a major tax evasion case. And they said, why aren't you tougher? And he says, I don't know what tougher means. Obviously, he doesn't. Well, we have someone on the line with us, Everett Stern, and he is telling us about the HSBC money laundering. Now, in the letter that he sent to Ben Bernanke, he pointed out that he was working at HSBC in 2010 and 2011. He saw systemic and blatant violations of the anti-money laundering laws and a 2010 cease and desist order. he had joined them after that cease and desist order, and he's going to tell us what was continuing to go on there right after we come back. These are violations that were not covered by the Federal Reserve settlement with HSBC that was in 2012. And this is a breaking story. We've got him right after.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Do you live with stress? If you have nervousness or common everyday anxiety, we're looking for you. Because right now we're sending risk-free supplies of a fast-acting supplement to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls right now will learn how to get a risk-free bottle of Stress Block, a naturally derived formula that promotes feelings of calmness, focus, and well-being in a great-tasting chewable. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-547-8490. Stress Block is a fast-acting, non-prescription formula to support relaxation without causing drowsiness. Your nervousness is guaranteed to begin fading like magic in no time. This special risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for this exclusive Stress Block risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-547-8490. That's 1-800-547-8490. Call 1-800-547-8490.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPAC 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
Answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
I hear the sound of the fire from the prison gate. Are the liberators here?
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex Jones. Now, as I was telling you just before the break, we've seen time and again some of the largest banks in America involved in money laundering with drug cartels, some of the largest drug cartels, some of the largest drug busts. We've seen tremendous amounts of money involved, and yet we haven't seen anybody from any of these banks go to jail. Now, we recently had a money laundering case that was talked about in March of this year, and when it was brought up, the Attorney General decided that they were going to go very light on HSBC. And they gave them essentially a slap on the wrist. They fined them $1.9 billion, which sounds like a lot of money, but that was only 5 weeks worth of their income. And considering the amount of time that this had been going on and the details of what had happened, it was, people were generally shocked at what happened. But then right after that, we saw the same thing happen with the LIBOR scandal involving huge amounts of money and manipulation of markets. And again, the Department of Justice just gave them a pass and said, these banks are too big to fail. We have to worry about the banks more than we have to worry about the integrity of our government, more than we have to worry about the safety and the security of our citizens. Because, you know, the war on drugs and the war on terror, we're supposed to be fighting those. And yet it's the government that is funding it and these giant banks that are funding it. We have on line with us Everett Stern, and he was working at HSBC. How you doing, Everett?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Doing fine. Now, this case that just came out in March, they had been given a cease and desist order back in 2010. The money laundering had been going on from 2004 to 2010, and they said they were going to stop that. And that was part of the terms of why they went light on them. They and the settlement agreements, they cited HSBC's cooperation and remediation efforts as a basis for leniency in the terms imposed. And yet you started after this cease and desist order was in, after they supposedly had taken measures to stop the money laundering. Tell us about what you saw when you were there. Tell us about your experience and the experience of people that you saw that were hired there.
Yeah, sure. First, before I do that, if I can just comment that, you know, what the Obama administration doesn't understand is that, you know, by giving a slap on the wrist to these banks and by engaging in these deferred prosecution agreements, their concern is that it will cause a financial crisis if they criminally prosecute these banks. And what's not being understood here is that if there's another 9/11, that's going to cause another financial crisis. I think that's being missed. But when I started in October of 2010, I was part of the crew that was brought in to clean up their act. And you know, what HSBC did was create a sham anti-money laundering compliance program. I mean, they went ahead and they took their department of 15 compliance officers, if you want to even call them that, and they sold off their credit card division to Capital One, fired a whole bunch of debt collectors and customer service reps, and then about a week later, they rehired them as anti-money laundering compliance officers, which is crazy, improved transactions.
These are people who had no experience in money laundering, no experience in how to detect that, or they were just debt collectors that were rehired.
Right, exactly. I mean, to be honest with you, I wouldn't even trust them to collect debt. So, you know, it's very, very concerning that they were going ahead to approve these transactions. But, you know, that's what HSBC wanted. They wanted a system that and they encouraged a culture to facilitate terrorist financing and the financing of drug cartels.
Now, when you were there, what kind of work did they give you to do? I mean, did they give you any training once you got it? You didn't have any experience in money laundering. Did they give you any training when they brought you in?
No. I mean, what I had to do when I got there was I went, because the main money laundering facility is in Newcastle, Delaware. So what I went, I went ahead and went to the University of Delaware Library, checked out as many books as possible on money laundering, and taught myself early in the morning before work and after. You know, I figured out very quickly what they were doing. And I started reporting and passing information to the CIA 3 weeks in, and did that for over a year.
You didn't hear anything back from the CIA, and eventually you went to the FBI, and you also gave that information to them. And they were investigating HSBC for these very things at the time, and HSBC was under a cease and desist order. And yet, did you hear anything back from the FBI or the CIA?
I did not. Communicated with the FBI greatly, and they were just as upset with the deferred prosecution agreement as I was. But my attorneys did file with the SEC to asking the SEC and the Department of Justice to reopen the investigation into HSBC because my evidence was not included in that deferred prosecution agreement. I recently met with the chairwoman of the House Finance Committee, the SEC is investigating this case right now.
Now, the kinds of things that you saw there, tell us a little bit about how they would look for money laundering and how you noticed that there were signs that maybe there were deliberate efforts to get around the traps that the computer software would look for, specific names, right?
Yeah, sure. So OFAC lists, has a list of people that we can't do business with. So and that ranges from terrorists, drug cartels, Russian mobsters, you know, just any bad guy you can possibly think of. And the bank has provided this list, and wire transfers are not allowed to go to those people. So what maybe to give a perfect example, there was a group of a chain of supermarkets in Africa, in Gambia specifically, called Kariba Supermarket. And Kariba Supermarkets was owned by Tajiko, which is a company in Beirut, which is owned by the Tajain brothers, who are financiers of Hezbollah. So the money was moving from Kariba Supermarkets, where, you know, people were buying groceries, which was being converted into terrorist funds. And HSBC was facilitating these transactions. Now, according to OFAC, those transactions should not have been going through. So I saw, though, what was going on was criminal manipulation of the wire filter, so that the wire filter HSBC has contains all of those names. But for instance, with Tajiko, which is spelled T-A-J-C-O, in the actual wire filter, it would be T-A-J.C-O. Or on the payments, it would be, you know, T-A-J/C-O. Or, you know, they would add these dots and dashes to not match with the wire filter, so the payments would go through. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, blatant criminal manipulation.
Right. If you put that period in there, somebody just glances at that, they or an extra space, they may not notice that. But the computer was looking for an exact character match, so they could just go in and put a period or a space or a dash, and the computer would not pick it up. So you're looking, and the computer is actually has the correct list of people that are flagged as money launderers. And these are organizations like Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, as well as drug cartels like the Zeta drug cartel and the Sinaloa drug cartel. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly.
So this is so it looks like blatant manipulation. So you contact the FBI, and this
is at the time. The FBI came involved after I left HSBC.
Okay.
So I first went to the Central Intelligence Agency because before I got to HSBC, while I was in college and in business school completing my MBA, I was a candidate for the clandestine service, so which certainly did not make me any better or less of a, you know, money laundering officer. But I felt I have tremendous respect for the CIA, and I these were national security issues dealing with foreign entities and terrorists, and I had to get them this information. Not only that, but what HSBC did was they went and they hired the former. A former top FBI counterintelligence agent to run the department, and I felt the FBI was compromised. And David, if I can just note here that I think that individual the FBI counterintelligence agent needs to go back to the academy because I got past this counterintelligence for over a year.
Wow. So after you left, you were there for about a year, and then after you left, you did contact the FBI. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So the Department of Justice, the FBI, knows that they've got complaints that it looks like they're manipulating the names of these people so they can get past the filters. And, of course, under the Bank Secrecy Act, you're supposed to, as a bank, know your customer, and you're supposed to verify that they're a legitimate customer, and you're supposed to keep track of that and report. Anything over $10,000 is reported to the federal government. So, of course, in the Bank Secrecy Act, there is no bank secrecy. That's typically the way that the government does things. They give them a name for something that is exactly the opposite. But under the Bank Secrecy Act, they have an obligation to know who these people are so that they're not participating in the war on drugs or the war on terror. And yet, not surprisingly to those who listen to InfoWars, we see that the large banks who have, we believe, control of the government are really running and financing this war on terror and this war on drugs. So what happens when you give it to the FBI? Do they do anything with it?
Yeah, well let me just do a brief comment on something that you just said. So, for instance, customer rule as part of the Bank Secrecy Act. In theory, the bank secrecy, KYC or know your customer, is supposed to work. But what happened was that at HSBC, there were a tremendous amount of alerts being generated, and there was multiple backlogs of alerts. We're talking like 50,000, 100,000. So you can think of each alert as an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole point of a legitimate anti-money laundering program is to facilitate SARS, which is a suspicious activity report, which is a report that gets reported to the Treasury. Now, HSBC didn't want those SARS to be written because those SARS take time, and we needed to clear backlogs. There was no time. So we had to prevent SARS from being written, and they created a very good system on how to do that, and I have evidence of it. And what the FBI counterintelligence agent did was he decided to go create more of a leniency in the department when dealing with foreign banks. So, for instance, a tremendous amount of alerts were being generated from Saudi British Bank, you know, anti-terrorist financing alerts. I mean, you know, very, very serious stuff. So because there was just so many alerts being generated, this counterintelligence FBI trader, he decided to allow those reps at Saudi British Bank to determine whether or not, you know, the know your customer rule was met. So
he's delegating this to the Saudi bank.
That we could go ahead and rely on their knowledge and information, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this went on after they had the cease and desist order. And after you left, you go to the FBI, but nothing essentially happened with this. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, the FBI had a 4-hour interview with them, and the Senate hearing started a month or two later. But no, the FBI they did not include my evidence in this case because they know that let me take a step back for a second. Then I apologize, but the information that the government had against HSBC before me was very general and very vague. My evidence is very specific. It names names. It has the transactions. It has the people. It has the entities, everything. And it could literally shut down the bank. So they did not want to include my information, and that's why I'm pressing now for a new investigation into HSBC with my evidence.
So now you've gone to members of Congress, is that correct? And you've also filed a lawsuit?
Well, I do not have a lawsuit, no.
Okay.
What we did was Berger and Montague, which is a very large whistleblowing law firm in Philly, they took me on as a client. I'm not paying them. And they filed a whistleblowing claim, and they filed my evidence with the Department of Justice, with Bernanke, with the SEC, and we are trying to instigate, and there already is an investigation being reopened into HSBC, but I am not personally suing HSBC, no. There's no lawsuit there.
Okay, all right, that's fine. So you're just trying to get this investigation open because even though they admitted to wrongdoing between the period of 2004 and 2010, that was, like you said, a very generalized wrongdoing. And you saw that even after 2010, when they had the cease and desist order, you saw that it was still going on. And the terms of leniency pointed out that they had cooperation from HSBC and that there was remediation efforts at HSBC. And what you're pointing out, and pointed out actually before they came up with this finding, you pointed out that, no, actually, it's still going on, and you pointed out some specifics, and basically, up to this point, really, nobody's paid any attention. Is that correct? Have you gotten anybody at Congress to take up your cause?
Yeah. I was contacted by Maxine Waters at the House Finance Committee,
mm-hmm.
And she invited me down to Capitol Hill a couple weeks ago, and I spent 2.5 hours, disclosing all my evidence and information. And, she was in shock. And she said specifically that, my information is so specific and lethal to the bank because this could take them down.
Well, that's under the assumption that they're not too big to fail or not too big to jail.
And from my understanding, you know, Congressman Waters did go to Eric Holder, and Eric Holder was asked, you know, why are you, you know, ignoring Everett Stern's evidence? So, I think we're kind of coming to a head with the situation where they're going to have to investigate. And what I'm trying to do on my end is alert the public as to what's going on so they can apply pressure.
I understand.
Because the thing is that these animals down in Newcastle, Delaware, are killing Americans with the click of a mouse. And that's what I think people don't understand, that this is not a normal banking scandal. I mean, we're talking American soldiers are getting their limbs blown off by IEDs, and then we have foreign banks sponsoring terrorism on U.S. soil.
On drugs, we've got over tens of thousands of people in Mexico that have lost their lives over this, as well as 80% of the violence that's going on in Chicago isn't because people have guns or even easy access to guns in Chicago, except for the drug gangs, and they're shooting it out with each other. We have the former Cook County prosecutor, Jim Gearock, telling us that it's prohibition that's responsible for 80% of the drug violence in Chicago and the gun violence in Chicago. It has real-world consequences, this kind of corruption. Thank you very much, Everett, for talking to us. We really appreciate your efforts to get the truth out, to do this at great cost to yourself personally. We always appreciate people standing up for the truth. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit iwantthatbunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
You are now in the crosshairs. The NSA and the FBI are treating you like a criminal and monitoring your every move. Ron Paul said recently, "The evidence of the totalitarian nature of this government is on display undeniably every day. What's taking place right now is a coup and the destruction of the Constitution. Fortunately, there is something you can do about it. Learn how to be invisible, lock down your privacy, and even disappear forever. Go to privacylockdown.com to learn how. That's privacylockdown.com.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere. From all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents, radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex. And we were just talking to Everett Stern, a former employee of HSBC, and he was talking to us about the HSBC money laundering scandal. If you remember back in March, we were told that they were essentially too big to jail. And again, I've got to just read this quote again. This is from Assistant Attorney General Lanny Brewer, who said that if they hadn't just given them a wrist slap, he said, the U.S. authorities, if they had pressed criminal charges, would almost certainly have lost the HSBC banking license, and the future of the institution would have been under threat, and the entire banking system would have been destabilized. That was taken as a too-big-to-jail statement. And it was just a week later that we saw UBS get off in the LIBOR scandal. Now, LIBOR, if you have a home loan, you know that in most cases, if you have an adjustable-rate mortgage, that LIBOR is the supposedly market-based metric that they use to set the interest rate on adjustable-rate mortgages, and UBS was involved in a manipulation scandal that involved trillions, with a T, trillions of dollars worth of money, but of course, they didn't want to destroy a major financial institution, so they just gave them a pass and said, no problem. We don't want to really get tough with anybody. Well, the same thing happened with HSB and with Wachovia and with Bank of America. We see this pattern happening over and over again, but Everett Stern saw this happening at HSBC even after the 2010 cease and desist order. He was brought in as part of a new corrected anti-money laundering effort at HSBC, but he saw problems that were very specific, and he documented these, went to the FBI. So far, he's not heard anything as far as prosecutions go. He's talked to Congresswoman Maxine Waters, and she promises that she's going to talk to the Department of Justice and get something done. We'll see. But I definitely respect Everett Stern for taking it on himself to blow the whistle. You know, we need to have honest people in law enforcement, honest people in these private institutions, people like Ed Snowden. When they see something is wrong, they need to point out criminal actions. That's what the society needs. We need to have reform of the corruption that's going on in our governments. And that's not a problem when somebody points out criminal actions. The government thinks it's a problem. They don't want anybody like an Ed Snowden to point out when things are criminal. So they think the problem is just shutting up the Ed Snowdens. We've got to find a way to contain them, to keep them in the dark, or the Everett Sterns. But we appreciate it, Everett, when you come out and you talk about these problems. And you've done this at great personal risk, too. Tell us what happened to your personal life. There's always a price to pay when you do that.
Sure. Well, as you know, I mean, it always gets darker before before the dawn. But I lost everything. I couldn't get hired. I ended up working as a waiter at P.F. Chang's, and P.F. Chang's hired me because I had no waiting experience. But I had $20 in my bank account. And I took the Rolling Stone when I was featured in Rolling Stone. I took the magazine down to P.F. Chang's, showed him my photo in the magazine, and said, "Look, I did the right thing. I need a job, and I just need help." And they hired me, and knowing that I wasn't going to be there in a couple of months, moving on to bigger and better things. But they, I have tremendous respect for them and the way they helped me. And working as a waiter just gave me a whole new appreciation of hard work and what it means, the value of a dollar,
Yeah.
But it's just amazing to me that, as these people who are still working at P.F. Chang's and not there anymore, the waiters are living an honest life. They're not making that much money. But these guys at HSBC are sitting down for a lobster dinner, then getting into their BMW after sponsoring terrorism.
But they respected your integrity, and you would do it again, wouldn't you, Everett?
Yeah, absolutely. There's
good
no
for
question.
You. Good
for you. It's a matter of, I live my life with the honor, integrity, and loyalty, and it's about service to the country and protecting the United States.
We need more people like you, Everett. We're out of time, and that's tacticalrabbit.com. You can find.
You are listening to GCN.
My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere. From all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents, radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of nascent iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality nascent iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.